wonder what it's going to be like. Appreciate David for picking out those songs. We didn't really communicate about my sermon tonight until this afternoon during the meeting. And I'm sure he already had them picked out. What would it be like to sing and shout victory? It's going to be great. It's going to be great. David leading that song could not, and I appreciate y'all letting bearing with me over the years to allow me to talk about Jay and my life. And I know sometimes I go too far talking about myself, and that's about all I know about. And I use myself as an example. I'm a good example every now and again. I'm a bad example more than I am a good example, but I like to use myself. And David singing that song couldn't help but think about Jay when he was speaking down there at Alabama, that big youth group, and he talked about how he overcome problems and obstacles in his life. And never forget number five. I used it at his funeral, and I've used it a couple of times at different places. I spoke his 5 points, and his fifth one was, one day our life will give way to victory. No matter what we're going through in this life, no matter where you're at, if you're a faithful Christian and you stay dedicated and faithful to God each day of your life, at some point, this is going to give way. It's going to be over. It's going to be done. And we as Christians, we know that we have victory. And I cannot imagine singing and shouting victory one day with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we know that we had fought the good fight, we know that we finished the course, and we know that we have a home in heaven and looking forward so much to being there someday. And nothing but good times and happiness and no tears, no sorrows, and praising God. You ever had a bad day? Probably most everybody had a bad day at some point in your life. Let me ask you this without getting too emotional, I hope. Maybe tonight you're at a bad point in your life. Something's happening in your life, and you look at yourself and you cannot help but feel sorry for yourself. It may be because of your health, because of sickness and not feeling good and different things like that. It could be because of loneliness. You know, there's people that's lonely. They need companionship. They need friendship, and they need love. And people struggle with that, trying to get through each day of their life. There's people that are living out mistakes that they made in their life. You know, as Christians, God never promised us that we would not have trials. Matter of fact, James tells us that we're going to have trials. And with those trials builds patience, and we ought to count it joy. And we've talked about that in class, and I preach sermons on it, and I talked from the book of James before, and the most difficult thing really is to think about how we're going to count that a joy. But God never promised that everything was going to be easy. But now we do have the promise that God will forgive us. When we ask God to forgive us and we repent of our sins, we can mark that sin or put that sin behind us and we can go forward. But that does not relieve us or remove us from the mistakes that we made and having to live through and work out problems that we may have created in our life. So there's people that's living every day with a mistake that they have, trying to overcome it, trying to be a better person, trying to reform, reshape their life in some way, find happiness, and move forward with that. There's people that's struggling with depression. They get depressed over life and things in their life. It could be a job, it could be finances, it could be problems that they're having, struggling through life. We look at our life sometimes and we wonder about how are we going to go on, how are we going to move on, what's next. Called Nick one day about something. I talk to Nick often and I love him dearly. He's somebody that has to listen to me because he's too kind to hang up on me. I called him one day, was talking about something, and I told him, I said, the hits just keep on coming. And those are the days you get to feeling sorry for yourself because one problem happens and something else happens and something else happens. And I think along baseball, though I'm not a big baseball nut, but I think to myself, how did I get out of this inning? I'm pitching my best pitches. They keep hitting me. I can't get out. So we all face those days like that, and I hope that through this introduction, you somehow related to what we're talking about tonight because we all struggle. I found an article that I want to share with you. I'm going to comment on the article some, but for the most part, it comes straight from the article. It's taken from the book of Romans chapter 8. If you want to turn there, Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 28 through 30. We'll read that and then we'll talk about this article. Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them also justified, and whom he justified, them also glorified." This article starts off talking about the very first word in verse 28, and that is "and." It talks about that "and" is a connection to the promise. We don't have time tonight, but if you go back and you look at the entire chapter, especially starting with verse 18 and reading down through verse 27, you're going to see where this promise comes in, but the connection to the promise and the word "and," he says it's not a conclusion. If you look at the word "and," if it was a conclusion, he said it would be "therefore." In other words, he had continued or finished a thought, and he says, "Therefore, because of this, this is what I'm going to say." So he said it's not a conclusion. He said it's not a contrast. If it were, "but" would be used there. We look at some kind of contrast of what had just been written, but it is a connection, he says. "And" tells us that Paul wants, now listen, Paul wants us to see the connection there between what he has been saying and what he's about to say. I've been thinking a lot about this verse for the last several weeks, and when I found this article, I wanted to share it with you tonight. Verses 28 through 30 must be understood in the relationship to the spiritual life. More importantly, that pointing to the suffering that he had been dealing with in verses 18 through 27. So the very first thing we see, there is a connection to the promise there. The second point he brought out in this article was the certainty of the promise. Those two words, "we know." We know. He said, Paul does not say here, "I know." He says instead, "we know." The "we" speaks to both Paul and the entire Roman church. Paul is saying all Christians know this. The truth of which Paul speaks is a truth he believes is universally held by all Christians. It is also appropriate to infer that the truth taught here is not one understood or believed by non-Christians. He went on to say, "We know a definite note of certainty is here." Paul did not say "we think" or "we hope," but rather, "we know." We know. You ever got in a discussion with somebody and maybe they're telling you that you're wrong and somewhere in yourself you know what you're saying is right? I've made that statement before talking to someone. Listen, I know what I'm talking about here. Listen to what I'm telling you. I know. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, "We know this." And you know, that's some assurance for each one of us. That's something that every one of us, when we're having these bad days or we're dealing with whatever it is that come to your mind when I asked those questions a little bit ago, that he ties this together and he says, "We know." We don't just think it. You know, there's been times in my life I think, well, I hope I get through this. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about that we can know. The second thing he brought out in the article was the completeness of the promise. All things. I asked David a little while ago in the back, I said, what is all things? I think the obvious answer is what? All things. And that's what he brought out in his article. He said, all things equals all things. So wherever you're at and whatever the problems you may have or whatever the troubles that you're having in your life, that falls into what we're talking about here tonight with Paul. All covers everything. So sometimes we can look at our life and we can wonder how we're going to, as I used to Nick that day, I can't get out of this inning. Sometimes we think we're not going to get out of it, but Paul's dealing with what I call Nick about sometimes. How am I going to get through this? He went on to say, we have seen that all means that everything which affects the life of the Christian is under God's control and thus is a part of God's will for us. God causes all things to work together for our good. We are much more willing to give God credit for the pleasant events of our life and hand them to God than we are the painful experiences. If we are to take Paul's words in Romans 8 and verse 28 literally and seriously, we must face the fact that all things includes those things which we find painfully unpleasant. We may even think that they are unbearable. All things means there's nothing which falls outside of God's control and which works contrary to our good. The supreme illustration of God's turning all things, even the most evil things, to the good of His children is seen in the sacrifice of His own Son. In the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, God took the most absolute evil, that being Satan, the most evil that Satan could devise, and He turned it into the greatest conceivable blessing He could offer to fallen mankind. That is forgiveness and eternal salvation from our sins. Fourthly, he brought out in this the promise of work together. I think that's where we probably struggle in our minds sometimes, trying to figure out how is good going to come out of this? How is it going to work together? He said God does not necessarily bring it into our lives, those things which are in and of themselves good. He often brings into our lives those things which are painful, which cause us to groan. Often these unpleasant experiences are the result of our own folly or sin. Sometimes we may suffer through no fault or failure of our own. Our Lord's suffering was not due to any sin on His part at all. God causes all things to work together. While God permits things to happen which displease Him, He does not allow anything to happen which is contrary to His sovereign purpose. He said, taken individually, the events and circumstances God allows may not in and of themselves appear to be of any value or good to the Christian. But Paul does not say that each event is good or even that each incident will produce that which is good. He informs that all of the events working together produce what is good. And then he brought out a very good illustration. He said the ingredients which go into a cake are not very tasty when eaten individually. Flour, sugar, shortening, eggs, salt, baking powder, and spices are not something we want to eat one ingredient at a time. But you mix all these together in just the right proportions and then bake the combined mixture, you have a delicious treat. Each event in our life is like one ingredient in a cake. It may not seem good by itself, but when it's mixed by God with other correct events, it will surely produce what is good. Paul speaks here of God's sovereignty in terms of His choosing and blending all of our experiences in such a way as to produce that which is good. God causes things to work together for good. This means we cannot judge the goodness of God's work until His program is finished. Where are you at in your life? What is it that we're thinking about tonight that we're struggling with? What is the heartache that we have? You know, we all have those things. But the songs that David picked out tonight just ties it all in just great, because we can know that one day our life will give way to victory. The final thing he mentions in verse 28 is the content of the promise for good. It's vital that we understand the term good, or we completely reverse the meaning of the verse. What it doesn't mean for good, what is good, money and circumstances. Example, he said, when we think about bad things happening but good comes out of it, he had an illustration, I won't go into it. He said a lady found out that she had cancer because she broke her arm. You know, it was bad that she broke her arm, but something good come out of it. She found out she had a terrible disease that she could begin to fight and treat that disease. We need to be careful. We don't need to be a people that look at our life and say that we've got it worse than anyone else. We need to be happy with what we have. We need to be content with where we're at. And I'm preaching to myself more than anybody else sitting in here tonight. We need to be happy and content with where we're at. We need to be looking toward the future. Not necessarily the future where I'm going to be in my life, but my future with God someday in heaven. What is it that I have to do today to get me closer to heaven? What is it I have to do today to be more faithful to God than I've ever been in the past? What assures me of a home in heaven? No matter what I'm going through in my life right now, what is it that puts me closer to God? And then work toward that. Because we have a promise. And that promise comes from God. We know that all things work together for good. Them that love God. Do we believe that? Do we believe that everything in our life is going to turn out for good because we serve God? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you with this song that we're about to sing. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to turn away from sin, confess that Jesus is Lord, then you can be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you've been unfaithful to God, you have something that stands between you and God and your relationship is not where it needs to be, then our prayer is that you will come. But if you're here and you're struggling tonight, and you need encouragement or you need prayers or you need help in any way, let it be known while together we stand and sing.